Good. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Book of Mark, chapter 4. I believe you'll be blessed. I'll go a little bit different direction as I've been going. I love Mark chapter 4 because it just tells me what I can receive in life. Not only when I get to heaven, I find Christianity for centuries or millenniums has always told us what's going to happen when we get to heaven, but we're not there yet. So you need to find out what can happen to you while you're here. And then, bless God, we know heaven's going to be fine, but heaven's not your problem. Los Angeles is. You see what I'm saying? Or Anaheim, or wherever you might live. The Lord began to deal with me this morning about a sermon I ministered a few years ago, and I felt led of the Lord to do it this morning. And the title of this message is, Your Future is in Your Seed. Your future is in your seed. That is spiritually, that is physically, and that is financially. If you want a legacy, it's not what you do in life, it's what you leave in life that makes a legacy, in my opinion. Because the greatest miracle God can give any individual is his children, if you really think about it. So if you go on home to be with the Lord, your parent, you know, your children, they can see you in them. So your future is in your seed, and everything God does, he deals with the seed. Think about that for a minute. So that's not only spiritually or physically, but it's also financially in every facet of life. See, to me, you know, so many people have a misunderstanding of the word giving because it's been so abused over the centuries, trying to get something from you and try instead of trying to get something to you. And that's the whole key to it. You see what I'm saying? And I always say this, like Brother Copeland says, I don't live by your giving. I live by my giving. That's spiritually, physically, financially. So the economy does not affect Jesse Duplantis at all at any time. I've heard so many ministers say, you know, we slow down in the summer. We don't. Never have. And I don't mean that arrogantly. Never have slowed down in the summer. Never. You know, I've heard some preachers get on television, you know, it's summertime and, you know, which they believe in that they're going to slow down, like you're going to go on vacation and quit being their partner for a month or two or whatever. I don't know, you know, but we have never had that problem ever in our ministry, ever at all. In fact, it seems like it speeds up in the summer. It really does. In fact, I called my office. I said, how y'all doing? We are loaded to the gills. I said, well, y'all having tomorrow off? They said, yeah. I said, I'm not. How come the boss got to work with you? You know, they said, happy freedom. Praise God. You know? But the Lord has been so good and gracious. I want to deal with that this morning. Some very familiar scripture and very simple scripture, yet with great depth and revelation in it. Title of the message, Your Future is in Your Seed. I want to start reading with Mark chapter 4. Well, first, let's just start reading with verse 3. Hearken, behold, they went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, so he did something. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Notice he didn't sow it. It fell by the wayside. Sometimes people have a way of getting stuff out of your hand without you giving it. That's called falling. Some fell on stony ground, same way, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it will come up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up, increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Then in verse 13, Jesus says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Then how then will you know all parables? Or in other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get this, you can't get anything else. The very foundation of what God does is sowing and reaping. Now notice that verse 13, it's a very important verse in your life. It says, know you not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? Or in other words, if you don't get this, you're not going to understand anything else, because this is the foundation of any revelation, of any truth. That's the only way you can get saved, by understanding this parable. For God so loved the world, he sowed his son, he sowed Christ, he expected Christians. Pretty simple, wasn't it? See, you got to understand that. The reason Jesus came was so you could get to God instead of God getting to you. God will get to you, but you need to get to God. Now, I want to go over the verse 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. Faith cometh by hearing. It doesn't come by heard. So many people are trying to develop their lives on heard all years and years ago, but it comes by hearing. With what measure you meet, notice that's you doing that, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that faith, or unto you that hear, shall more be given. So notice this. You got giving is not just the answer to receiving. You got to have faith in your giving. You have to have faith in your seed that it will come up. That's what it said. And unto you that hear, faith come by hearing. Unto you that faith, shall more be given. So harvest comes by what? By faith. Right? Through your giving. Now, verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. Now notice that. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now some of the people that criticize this prosperity message ought to read that Bible. Ought to read that verse right there. Glory to God. Jesus said, if you have something, I'm going to give you more. If you don't have nothing, I'm going to take with nothing you have. Why? Because evidently, if you're not receiving, then evidently you're not giving spiritually, physically, financially. Every day I try to do something in my life. Every day I try to give something away, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, or whether it's financial. Some of the greatest gifts I've ever given has been a smile. You'd be surprised, man. I can light up a room with a smile. I've done it many times. I don't go to many hospitals, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, I'm not a pastor. I travel so much. But when I do go, I always remind myself to smile. So I just walk in a hospital with some of the worst thing going on. I go, hey, how y'all doing? Woo! Even intensive care, they go, good Lord. You see people go, they try to break a smile. They go, I said, y'all having problems? And they go, yes. I said, well, have no fear. Jesus is here. Pretty simple. And it's amazing. When you just say the name of Jesus, even if people are not religious, they go, something. See, so it says in verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, verse 26, where I'm trying to get to. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing things, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and arise night and day, and the seed should spring up, or spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. In other words, it's not your responsibility to know how it develops. It's just your responsibility to sow it. Verse 27 again. And should sleep and rise night and day. That means you shouldn't be worried about what you gave. And the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, now immediately is suddenly his twin brother, immediately he putteth in the sickle. So notice, you got to do something. You can't just sit on your porch and wait for God to bring you a harvest. See, not only must you have seed in your hand, you must have a sickle in your hand. Because not only you are a sower, you are a harvester. Now, I don't know much about farming because I was raised in a city. You say, I'm a city boy, you know, but I do know this, and I've talked to a lot of farmers, that there's more work at harvest time than there is at sowing time. I don't forget, sometimes I've been preaching, in a grain belt during harvest time, and some of them people stay in them, I believe that's called combines, stay in them combines until 12 o'clock at night. They've been working all day. I mean, as soon as the sun, just trying to get the harvest in. So I've learned something in my life. Here I'm sowing. If I must have seed in my hand, but I must have a sickle in my hand. I must have a harvester to receive what I've already sowed. Now, the reason why I don't have trouble in the summertime like a lot of ministries do is because I sowed in the spring. The reason why I don't have trouble in the springtime is because I sowed in the winter. The reason why I don't have trouble in the wintertime is I sowed in the fall. The reason why I don't have, you understand? So I sow in summer, I sow in fall, I sow in spring, and I sow in winter, and I sow in summer again. In other words, I'm constantly sowing, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm constantly reaping. You see, now when you understand that cycle, it don't make no difference what the world does. Why? Because you're not moved by the economy of the world. You're not working for the world to start with. The world is working for you. Let me tell you something. It's much harder to work money than it is to work for money. I remember years ago, Lord Jesus, if I could just get some money. I found out when I got started getting a little finance, I thought it was a lot harder to work that than to work for it. Because, you know, when I finished at 5 o'clock, whatever my job was, I was finished, man. I earned my day's pay. Oh, but Jesus, when you work at money, you got to work at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, for it to produce. So notice this, it says this in verse 28, for the earth bringing forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is, verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And then God begins to speak, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Title of this message this morning is Your Future is in Your Seed. So I'm going to first deal with this. If you look at this first verse here in verse 26 is seed time. That's your giving time. Verse 28 is progression time. Now that's where the trials and tribulations and tests of prosperity come. Not in the sowing, but in the progression time. While that seed is germinating. See, that's where Satan defeats most people. Not in the sowing time or the harvest time, but in the progression time. In other words, the time for seed to grow up. It's like a child. A child just screams to grow. Then after they get a certain age, they just wish they could go back. Now, in the next few days, my birthday is coming up, and you know, I'm not worried about my age. I could care less about how old I look. It doesn't make any. It is getting a little loose. See, it is getting a little loose, but that's okay. It don't make no difference. Kathy can't see it, so it doesn't make any difference. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I don't really care that much about that, but I mean, if you want to take care of yourself, take care of yourself. Bless God. I had a lady get real mad at me. She said, "You ought to preach against facelifts." I said, "I can't. You need one." Well, she's going to be critical, bless God. I mean, Lord Jesus, you know. I mean, my God, there ain't nobody's business but yours. I tell people, you don't have no teeth. For God's sake, get some. And glue them. Because I don't want to be smiling and watch your teeth fall down. So where most people are defeated in their future, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, is in the progression time. So one verse is seed time. The other verse is progression time. And that last verse here, where immediately you put in the sickle, that's harvest time. Now, I want to tell you something. Harvest time is the most work. But progression time, and you might excuse this, usually in people's life is the most worry. And yet the Lord said, you should not fret or worry, don't doubt about anything. You see, but here's something I do, and I mean this sincerely. I never forget where I sow. Never. I find if you're going to be a good business individual, you ought to not forget where your money is. I mean, it's kind of stupid to go put money in the bank and forget you got it. Yet you know how many people do that? I mean, millions of people literally do that and die. And a lot of times the inheritance stays in the bank for years because somebody forgot it. So let's deal with your futures in your seed. When you get pregnant, you got a progression time. Now, you just as pregnant as you can't feel nothing and you can't see nothing, but it's going to happen. All of a sudden, your seed is going to begin to take over your life. I'm going to deal with that in a little bit, man, on the progression. All of a sudden, the baby takes over and runs everything. The baby determines whether you look good or not when you're pregnant. Did you know that? It'll bring a color to your face. They say a pregnant woman is a very beautiful one because she's got life. Well, she's producing life, and that life is producing for her. So let's deal first with this seed time. Write this down. Nothing great or serious or lasting can ever be done in a hurry. I'm going to tie that into the statement I've been saying all this week. Nothing great, serious, or lasting can ever be done in a hurry. You understand what I'm saying? Hurry is not for you. Some of the greatest, you know, I'm a person, I buy a lot of antiques and things, and I buy a lot of artwork. I invest a lot. A lot of people say, but Jesse, what do you do beside your ministry? Well, I invest a lot in artwork, and I invest a lot in antiques and real estate and different things of that nature. I kind of like doing that kind of stuff. But you know, some of this furniture that I have purchased in my home is 200 and 300 years old, and it just looks as good today as it did when it was made. You know why? It was created not in a hurry. But I wonder how long your couch is going to last. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because everybody right now want to do something fast. It's called, you know, get on the line, get it out, you know. Like I bought a piece of furniture that's in the foyer of my home that was in the Palace Versailles. I have it in my house. I just like to go look at it. I just go, ugh. Then I realize how old that piece of furniture is. I thought, my Lord, that's older than my great-grandfather. That is about the same age as when my family got thrown out of Paris, France, and went to Nova Scotia, where we became Acadians. And they told us to swear to the king, and we didn't swear to him. We swore at him, but we didn't swear to him. So they throwed us out, and the four brothers from Paris, France, which was the Duplantis boys, Duplantis, migrated out of Nova Scotia down. Three brothers went to the bayous of South Louisiana. Two went to New Orleans, and one went to Little Caillou, and one went to Victoria, Texas. Now, that one that went to Victoria, he was a wild man. He must have loved women. Because the other day I was in Victoria, Texas, and a big black man, about 6'7", weighed about 300 pounds, come up to me. He said, "My name is Jeffrey Duplantis. Do you think we related?" I said, "Most likely." And I don't mind. Say, "What color are you? Pick one. I've been there. I want to let you know." So nothing great or serious or lasting can ever be done in a hurry. Now, I've been saying this, and you may have wrote it down in the previous sermons, faith and hurry are incompatible. I find out when I get in a hurry, if I'm driving, I get a ticket. There's always somebody to try to shut down your hurry. You ever notice when you're in a hurry, you always get behind an old grandma driving a car? Right? Now, when you don't have anything to do, there ain't nobody on the road. Now, there's sometimes you have to almost, you know, people ask me all the time, "But Jesse, I've been knowing you for years. Women don't seem to bother you." I said, "Nope." He said, "Drinking and money and all that kind of, you know, a lot of people fall in those things." I said, "Nope." He said, I had a friend of mine in Dallas, Texas. He said, "Does anything bother you?" I said, "Yes, traffic." Traffic runs me up a tree. So I bought a plane to fly over it. But guess what I ran into? Traffic. Do you know they got interstates right over Los Angeles in planes as well as they got down there on those interstates you got down here? I mean, you just got to get in line. And you don't argue about the situation. See, but every time I've gotten in a hurry, I've made a mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, hurry don't help you at all. Hurry makes you, write this down, hurry makes you overlook the small details of life. You understand what I'm saying? And you're missing some of the greatest things you could have in life. So, nothing great, serious, or lasting can ever be done in a hurry. Faith and hurry are incompatible. So when you sow your seed, you're giving in this convention. You've given in the last convention. You gave 15 years ago in the convention. You gave 25 years ago in the convention. It doesn't make any difference what time you gave. It doesn't make a difference if you did give. Why? Not so we can get money, because we're not trying to get something from you. Trying to get something to you. You see what I'm saying? I don't believe in finance poverty. I said that the other day. There's so much money in finance poverty. Lord, them children still starve every year. They make sure, bless God, nothing ever changes. They're still stuck out in the desert living in a hole. Why? Because I believe in feeding children. I believe in helping people. Don't misunderstand me. But you got to give them more than just some food and a tent. You got to give them the will to prosper. You got to give them something. And the only way you're going to get people to prosper, you can't get rid of poverty with money. That's simply the truth. How do you know that? The federal government, the United States federal government, proves that every year. We send billions and billions of dollars overseas and people still poor, people still dying. Isn't that amazing? So what happens is what gets rid of the of poverty in life is the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. See, when you are an anointed minister, Jerry was preaching last night, preaching good news, it will seed into someone's heart. And it will get them not only out of their financial trouble, but it'll get them out of their natural trouble and spiritual trouble. In other words, it begins to change the whole process. So, in other words, when you understand, you sow. So when you sow, you realize that faith and hurry are incompatible. Now write this down. The evidence of faith is not seen, but the evidence of doubt is. You see what I'm saying? The evidence of, I don't know why everybody's wanting to see something when they believe in God for something. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, so to me that's pretty simple. I don't need a theologian to help me figure that out. So if I'm praying and I'm believing God, brother, and I can't see it, I got it. Why? Because my evidence is not seen. So when the devil said, "Can you see it?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, aren't you sad?" I said, "No, that's my evidence that I got it." Now he gets confused pretty easy. He's the author of confusion. See, I'm not moved when I see it. I'm moved when I believe it. You see, the evidence of faith is not seen. Well, what happens, Brother Jesse, when you see it? Well, then it's no longer faith, it's manifestation. Now, the evidence of doubt is seen all the time. Doubt is never a spiritual thing. Write that down. Doubt is never a spirit. Doubt is always a natural, secular thing. Doubt is seen constantly. Ooh, you can pick up doubt quick, much easier than you can pick up faith. Because, see, faith doesn't have a real big voice, but it does have a big footprint. Now, doubt got a big voice, ain't got a lick of a footprint whatsoever at all. Because it never knows. It doubts itself. You've heard people say, and I've said it too, if you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more, because your doubts have been doubted, because you've learned to doubt your doubts. God said all things are possible to them that believe. The devil said that's not true. So when the devil throws doubt in your mind, doubt it. Just use what he uses. He puts doubt in your mind and said, devil, I doubt that. He said, you can't doubt that. I said, I doubt your doubt. You can't doubt that. That's my doubt. I doubt your doubt. Yeah, but that's my doubt. I don't care if your doubt. I doubt your doubt. Now, the devil gets confused. He starts talking to other devils. He said, listen, I put doubt in a man's mind, and he doubted. He said, how'd he do that? I said, I don't know. I'm still doubting myself. I don't know how he done it. Did you get that? So the evidence of faith is not seen, but the evidence of doubt is. See, well, Brother Jesse, how do I get blessed all the time instead of just some of the time? Well, first thing first, you got seed time. I'm going to deal with those three facets: seed time, progression time, harvest time. First thing, you got to sow. If you want a baby, you got to sow. There ain't no immaculate conception. I don't care how much you pray, mama. You want a baby without a man, it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. You got to have us. Shout, men, I just set y'all free. You've got to have us, and we will sacrifice to be a blessing to you. You understand? Hey, it's just simply the truth. Now, some people always jump on. They asked me the other day about the Supreme Court's decisions on homosexuality and the different things of that nature. First thing first, I'm interested in your spiritual life, your private life. That's between you and God. But I had a man, a homosexual, come to me. He says, I tell you one thing. I said, what? He said, I'm normal. I said, okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. God loves me. I said, that's true. And I can go to heaven just like this. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Well, now that's discrimination. No, it's not. That's biblical. See, they pull up that discrimination stuff like the civil rights. You know, but I ain't got anything to do with discrimination. See, there's a chapter in the Bible called Romans chapter 1. I don't believe in Paul. I believe in Jesus' teaching. Well, Jesus believed in Paul's. Jesus gave it to Paul. So actually, Paul's teaching is Jesus' teaching. But I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what you're... If Jesus wouldn't have said anything about that, I could care less. That ain't none of my business what you do. But I'm trying to get you to heaven, man. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Now, I don't believe in hurting people because of their sexual preference. I don't believe in killing people and want to beat somebody. I believe Jesus came that people be saved, not killed and destroyed. I think that's very wrong. Sometimes conservatives get so conservative, they try to squeeze somebody's life out. You can't do that. That's hatred. My God, man, that's from the very pit of hell. So, I mean, I said, I can like you and you be of that persuasion. You understand what I'm saying? But I know without a shadow of a doubt, I've committed a lot of sin in my life. But that's one sin I ain't never committed, will never commit, cannot commit. It's just not in my nature. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve because I wouldn't have got here. Do you understand? That's why I believe it's not born into you. Because you created in the image of God. Do you understand? And God said, be fruitful. So Adam and Eve can be fruitful, but Adam and Steve cannot be. They can only be lustful. See, if you're made in the image of God, you got to be able to create. So don't tell me you was born that way. Come on, man. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You see what I'm saying? Now, you may have things pulling on you at a very small age because the devil will attack a child just as quick as he attack an adult. He don't care. That's not the issue. But you see, you need parents to help you in those areas. And the problem is a lot of children don't talk to parents, and parents don't talk much to children. So children grow up with principalities dealing with them instead of the personality of their father or the personality of their mother. So first thing first is seed time. So how do I get this? How do I keep this? Write this down. To get the currency of the world, you must use the currency of heaven. How many of y'all want some currency of the world? Hold your hand up. All of you need money. Come on. Well, the way to get that is use the currency of heaven. What's the currency of heaven? Faith. See, that's the currency of heaven. Now, the currency of the earth is money, but see, that's moved in all the money markets every day. Every day I look at the money markets because I got a little investment in pounds. I got a little investment in this and that. And, you know, the pound's up about 1.65 right this morning, I think it was. The other day it was 1.67 against the dollar. So, you know, people say, boy, the dollar's in bad shape. Well, I got no sense to know how they operate that. They want all our goods. So, you know, they devalue the dollar so Europe can buy our stuff. That's just pretty simple. And then when we have enough, when we get what we want, makes the economy look good, then we'll pump that dollar back up. See, that's how that stuff works, because it's still the most sought-after currency in the world. Yet, it's not worth that much in England. Glory to God, Lord, the pound. And now the euro's up about 1.17, I think, this morning or something like that. My point simply is this, is if you want currency of any kind, and this is the International Believers Convention as well as the people on the internet, to get the currency of the world, you got to use the currency of heaven. That's why you sow and you reap. That's called seed time. See, so first thing I do to receive currency that I need physically here, I have to use currency from there, which is heaven. And that's my seed. I sow my seed by faith. So let me say it again. Seed time, nothing great, serious, or lasting can ever be done in a hurry. Why? Faith and hurry are incompatible. Number two, the evidence of faith is not seen, but the evidence of doubt is, right? You can see it anytime. And to get the currency of the world, you must use the currency of heaven. So I decided that I would do that. Now, people say, you don't have that right. Yes, I do have that right. Why? Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. What do you want me to do? What are you mad at me for being blessed? It isn't my fault, ladies and gentlemen. I can't help it if I'm a blessed man. It's not my fault. It's my Father's fault. And I ain't talking about my physical daddy. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah God. So if you want to get mad at him. The reason why you're mad at me, because you can see me. You can't see him. But that's okay. I'll stand up for my Father. The other day I had a Muslim get in my face. He said, I don't like the Jews and I don't like the Christians. I just smiled at him. I said, well, let me ask you a question.
What?
I said, are you a descendant of Abraham?
He said, yes. He said, well, Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet.
I said, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. Let me just ask you the same question I just asked you a while ago. Are you the descendant of Abraham?
Yes, we're from the seed of Ishmael.
I said, oh, really? So you consider yourself a descendant of Abraham?
He said, yes.
I said, why did you change gods? Why did you change prophets?
Abraham served Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai.
Why did you change gods?
Tell me. I cannot answer that.
I said, because you don't know when you did it. You just believe something mama said to believe. Someone else before you. Something that became very popular till it overtook. Now, I'm not against anybody, but I am against the devil. But see, so if you're a Muslim watching this today, I asked you the question. If you're a descendant of Abraham, then why did you change gods? Why did you change prophets? Just answer the question. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Can't answer that. Because if Abraham's your father, you ought to at least believe what your father believed. Now, I'm not against Ishmael. Because Ishmael served Jehovah. That's right. And Ishmael and Isaac came together and buried Abraham. So, you know, if you're from the tribes of Ishmael, he served Jehovah God. Now, why are you changing gods? You understand? I'm not trying to be rude. I just simply ask a question. I want to know why, you know, I'll tell you why I believe in Jesus. He's the only one alive and the only one coming back. That's a good enough for me. That's all I need right there. You say, I don't believe that. That don't change you. See, because the seed of God has not been planted in your heart, so you don't have a future. So where there's seed time, now there's progression time. Let's get to that point. Let me read that scripture again first in verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed in the ground. Now we're going to go to verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, I want you to see this. There's seed time, now that's progression time. As I said earlier, that's where most people are defeated in life, is in the progression or in the growing or the germinating of your seed. See, now you've given and you were proud to give. But then all of a sudden the devil begins to go to work and begin to say, you see that? You done lost your money. You see that? Because you see, why does Satan always deal with time? You ever know somebody say he always dealing with time? Because Satan is very time conscious. Why? Because he don't have much left. Now, you ought to write that down. That'll help you. That's why he's always dealing with time. He's always on a, he's a time person. You understand? God, it doesn't have any limits. So time, it don't mean anything to God. He just creates whatever he needs. But Satan is very time conscious because he's already been judged and awaiting confinement. See, he's going to jail. He's going for eternity. It's called a life sentence. So he knows that he's soon going to be sucked up and thrown in the bottomless pit. So he's very time conscious. So the only way he's trying to destroy you is through time. And that's done through progression. Now watch this. When you sow seed, some people think the person you sowed in, you gave it to them, that they don't have any responsibility. Wrong. No. If you are part of my response in my ministry, if you've given to me in any way, shape, or form, somewhere, somehow, I have responsibility to make your seed grow in my soil. Now, a lot of people that are receiving don't understand that, but that is simply true. If you're going to be a receiver, you have to be responsible enough to make that seed grow. The point is this. Write it down. The soil in which you sow is responsible to make the seed germinate. Now, what does that mean? That means if you sow into Kenneth Copeland ministry, you sow into my man, whatever, bless God, it is my responsibility to make that seed germinate. Why? By living right, doing right, and believing right. By not putting any cancer, carcinogenic chemicals of doubt, sin, and unbelief around your seed. How many of you have given to ministries that have committed adultery and they no longer exist today? Think about it. How many of you have given in the past, bless God, and what you gave to you would have something for life, now you got nothing. I want to tell you something about those ministries, and you listen to me, you are watching by television. You are going to be held accountable for all the hard work and hard seed that people placed in your ministry while you were playing. You understand what I'm saying? You need to start fasting and praying and quit feasting and playing so the seed that's been put in your ministry will germinate for the people that God called you to be a blessing to. Now, I lay that responsibility right on this boy. Not just in your giving to me. In other words, I have got to believe every day of my life that you receive 30, 60, 100, and I'm praying constantly for it. The point is this, in the progression time, the soil which you sow is responsible to make the seed germinate. Why? There's always a due seed for season that you sow. That's why Jesus said, be not weary, for in due season you're going to reap. Now, due season is in that progression time. You know, all my life I wanted to be tall. But the seed that was sown didn't have tall in it at all. But you know what? I did better than my daddy. I'm taller than my daddy. I can eat soup on him, on top of his head. I didn't look at my daddy. I said, you could have done better. He said, I tried. You see what I'm saying? Now, for years I was sick. Boy, I heard that Tom Cruise says that you get one of these machines that hang yourself upside down, you'll grow. I got one. I've been hanging myself up and down and getting headaches. I ain't growing at all. You know them kind that make you flip up like that? Captain said, what you want for Christmas? I said, get me one of them things that make you hang upside down. Why you want that? Well, I heard somebody say it. I think it's on E.T. I never heard him say it. I don't know if they were just lying about it. They said, if you use one of those things, you'll grow. We got another piece of equipment we'll never use again as long as we ever live. You ought to see this stuff we got in my house. Kathy's always buying something. Jake about it by Jake. I ain't seen nobody by Jake on her yet. I tell you what, she says, we got some equipment, and it looks good. That's all it does. It looks good. There's always a due season for seed that you sow. So there's seed time, not as progression time. You understand what I'm saying? So when that doctor says you're pregnant, now you got to go through progression time. That may be milk and crackers, all that kind of stuff. You start getting all these, I don't know, I've never been a woman, so I don't know what that feels like. These feelings of, you know, you want to eat pickles and ice cream. I don't know, whatever, glory to God. I don't know. And your face gets flushed and you have color. Yeah, you look nice. Yeah, and that's a great thing. Why? Because progression is going on. Whether you feel it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Harvest time is coming. Now, what I want to get to this point. Then there's a certain point that the seed that was sown into your life takes over your life. That's done in progression time. Or in other words, you don't really have to worry about your seed. Your seed will take care of you. All of a sudden, that seed that's in a lady's body, all of a sudden that baby says, today we're going to have a good day. Today we ain't going nowhere. I want to sleep a little bit, so I'm going to send some whatever that I got and shut her down. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? Then after a while, everything is done with the baby. You're out shopping, going to buy things. Then you go down there and get one of those sonograms where they put that grease on your belly so you can see your little baby. You can see the little boy in there going, blue, blue, blue. You say, you're going to have a boy. Then the baby's born, and you got a girl. And now he's got to look at pink till he's 13 years old. I thought that was a boy. Yeah, I don't know. You just sometimes you don't really think so. And most of them, they're getting pretty good at it. But every once in a while, they make a mistake. So there's always a due time. There's always a due season in your sowing. See, now people criticize this. See, this is where criticism comes. Not in the seed time or in the harvest time, but in the progression time. You see that? Then guys ripped you off. They're so good, they know how to do that. Listen to this point. People who do little or no sowing usually feel justified in offering criticism. I've had some people say, bless God, you know, you're very good. I had a man tell me this, a preacher. He said, you're very good at receiving offerings. You get the biggest offering. I said, does that bother you? Does that bother you that God blesses me? I said, can I look at your checkbook? I would never ask anybody that, but I did that day. Because I don't care. That's not my personal. He said, no. I said, why you hide it so much? Because there's nothing in there given to God. Why are you criticizing me? I said, you know, you're criticizing me, but in actuality, you're criticizing yourself. I said, you're offering a lot of criticism, but I'm pretty sure without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't much of a giver. You probably a taker. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Listen to the point so you can write it down, because this is doing progression time. People who do little or no sowing usually feel justified in offering criticism. Well, I don't like the house you live in. Well, you're not living in it, so don't worry about it. I don't mean that rudely, but bless God, I don't like the car. I don't like, why do you wear jewelry? Because the Lord does. Somebody got it, praise God, over there. Heaven full of jewelry. Do you understand that? My, the foundation of the pearly gates, my God, diamond, barrel, jasper, onyx, ruby. What are you worried about? But I don't think you ought to have it. Do you think all you want? Now, I don't mean that in a rude sense. What I'm saying is I'm realizing that maybe the reason why I got a nice watch or something is how many watches have I given away? Huh? You ever thought about that? Maybe the reason why I'm driving a nice car is because how many cars I've given away and motorcycles and bicycles that I've sent overseas to be a blessing to people. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought you may be criticizing the harvest off of a God-sent seed? Now, I don't believe in greed. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm a man, I know how to base and I know how to abound. I got some friends of mine that wouldn't eat McDonald's to say they're so scared you might see them there. Me, I'll eat there today. It don't make me no difference. I like McDonald's. I'm hungry. Don't matter. I eat burger. I don't care. Say, that's not healthy. It is to me. You know, I realize that most of these nutritionists don't know what's going on. Remember? All of a sudden now, did y'all hear about that report came back on that Atkins diet? That all the people that was on the Atkins diet had better hearts, lower cholesterol, and lost more weight? Let me tell you something. Bacon is better than broccoli. You know, you ain't got to put nothing on bacon. But on broccoli, you better put something on there, because, son, that's like eating grass. Is that true? So I don't think really anybody knows what they're talking about, tell you the truth. You've heard me say, well, I'm going to eat like my grandma and my grandpa. They ate eggs fried in bacon grease, biscuits and butter and syrup. You know how happy those people were? They were very happy people. Think anybody really knows what's going on. They find a market in which to sell something. I saw something last night on CNN. Kathy's into all kind of minerals and all drinking stuff that you almost gag. You got to hold your nose and say, one, two, three, wham, slam it down. Then you got to grab something new. This is good for you. This is not good. You got this going to make you feel good. I said, you believe anything, woman? And then she brought me a cup of it. It looked like clabbered green sinus. Now, you got the revelation right there, buddy. I said, Kelly, I don't think, oh,
this is great for you. And then when she brought me a gallon of water, a bottle of water at the same time, I said, what's that for? Chaser. Chaser. Yes. I understand that. Well, you know, the Lord delivered me from that trash. So I took a hit of it, man. Wham! And I took my chaser. I drank water. All of a sudden, CNN came on with a, you might have seen it yesterday. It was a little thing on supplements. And my, do they really help? You know what it said? We don't know. We have done a test. You can't tell. I said, you see that? Yeah, man, you know how many people, this is a great market. It's $32 a bottle. Now, I'm not knocking supplements. I'm just saying it. They don't know. Well, I ain't drinking any of it till you do. Because if I got to suffer through that, bless God, I want it to work. I want to be able to hit that green stuff and turn my hair brown. Come on, baby. That's what I mean. If it's going to work good, it ought to work. I don't want to be one of the test. I just want something that's going to work. You know, I want Christianity to work. I want my giving to work. I want my receiving to work. I want my harvest to come. Now, where you defeat it most of the time is in your progression time. So listen again. People who do little or no sowing usually feel justified in offering criticism. Now, Brother Jesse, how come you don't get depressed on your giving? You, write this down, you have a divine partner. Your seed is in league with mighty forces. Time must not defeat you. You see, I find there's not a seed I've ever sowed that God didn't give me. Isn't that amazing? Every seed you've ever sowed, Jerry, God has put it in your hand. It's been a blessing to you. So you have a partnership with God in your seed. I've learned something about God. God's Jewish. Most Jewish people are very, very good business people. And I mean, if you don't know any Jewish people, you ought to find some friends, because Jewish people are lovely people. They're sweet people. But you ever notice, I've realized, like I sowed a seed last night. Well, I sowed a seed in all these offerings that are being picked up. You know, let me tell you something. We're speakers, but we give too. Do you understand that? If you know, we were givers. You know, but you see, I realized that I'm in partnership with the Lord in my seed. You see, now that dawned on me. Well, my Lord, he's not a loser, so why should I be a loser? You see, so let me read the point again. Your seed, you have a divine partner. Your seed is in league with mighty forces. So I realized when I sow that seed, I said, go forth, go out, bring me a harvest in due season. Now, it doesn't make any difference about the time factor. And a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, I am the kind of man that if I've been sowing into a particular ministry and I'm not receiving the harvest, I call them up. I call them up. I called up a missionary one time. I said, I've been putting $1,000 a month in your ministry. Brother Jesse, I just appreciate that. That's such a blessing. I said, you know, I said, I'm a very frugal man. I'm a good steward with the Lord's money and with mine. I said, I noticed in a lot of different ministries and ministries that I've sold into that I have received. But I ain't receiving nothing on your seed. What's the problem? And I learned this from Buddy Harrison, who's in heaven today. He said, always give to a giver. Because if you don't, you shut down the multiplication system. I've never forgot that. Buddy Harrison said that. So I said, brother, can I ask you a question? He said, what's that? I said, are you a giver? You know what he said? Well, just I'm a missionary. I said, I didn't ask you your occupation. Do you understand English? Read my lips. Are you a giver? I said, let me go a little bit closer. Let me get a little more personal. Are you a tither? Do you tithe? Well, Brother Jesse, I mean, you know, I'm a missionary in a foreign land. I said, I didn't ask you that. I know where you are. You get your money every month, don't you? Yeah, so I know where you are. That's not the issue. I know where you are. And I know what you're doing. I'm not asking that. I'm saying, I know what you're doing. And I said, I want to know about you personally. Are you a giver? Are you a tither? I mean, what do you do? But I've given my life. I said, so have I. We've all given our lives. Don't insult my intelligence now. Come on, man. Just answer the question, man. Are you a giver? Well, no. Then you have not been responsible for my seed. And my progression time has got longer and longer and longer on the harvest off of your ministry. I said, you know what I think you need to do? Maybe you might need to get somebody else to help you. Because you see, if you don't think enough of me
and think enough of all the hard work I do so I can be a blessing to you, then somebody out there will. He didn't know what to do. He had, I said, you know, I said, and you've been having financial trouble. I said, you got a pretty big financial base, don't you? And he did. I said, it's amazing to me. Those people that are making that financial base are working very hard to be a blessing, and you're not responsible for that seed. You hadn't been responsible toward it. Let me use Jerry Segal as an example. Years ago, we were on a motorcycle trip. Or right before we went on a motorcycle trip, Jerry says, Jesse, I said, what? He said, man, you like this trailer? This is a motorcycle trailer. I said, oh, yeah, Jerry, I like it. Now, Jerry says, I'm getting rid of my motorcycles. He said, I don't know, something was happening. He sold his motorcycle, gave some away, something like that. He said, so I'm going to give you this trailer. I said, oh, well, thank you, Jerry. What a blessing. Okay, he gave me the trailer. He said, you just come pick it up. It's at his house. Now, watch this. I was not responsible to Jerry on that seed. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Because, you see, I didn't go pick it up. Because I didn't really want Jerry to give me this, the trailer. I want him to go buy another motorcycle so he can ride with us. I didn't want Jerry not to go. Jerry's the one that makes everybody's bikes clean, pretty, all that kind of stuff. All the rest of us look like dogs. Our hair is plaited, sweat. Not Jerry, not Carolyn. They slick. Talk to them. Bike's always shining. I mean, I've seen Jerry bug hit his windshield, pull over the side of the roof, wipe it off. No. He likes his bike clean, looking good. That his towels match his bike. He opened up the tray of towels. He kind of monogrammed. All kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, you got to go pretty strong to stay with Jerry on a motorcycle trip. I mean, my Lord, I didn't go on this trip one time. He's in the Grand Canyon. You know, when you're in the Grand Canyon, you've been riding on a boat and you're sweating and you're water. But Carolyn had a hair curler made out of gas. Now, how did that happen? I don't know. And she just come out looking nice. I mean, it's amazing. So that's good. So I didn't really want Jerry to give me that trailer because I thought, if he see that trailer over there, you know, he going to go get him another motorcycle, then he going to be back with us next year on the trip. Because, you know, we enjoy Jerry and Carolyn on the trips and all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't know what Carolyn says to Jerry. We see her doing this all the time. And Jerry going, we've always wanted to ask him what that conversation was about, but we never did. Praise God. I don't want to know. So watch this. So we go on the motorcycle trip. Man, we driving, me and Kathy Duplantis, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Dennis and Vicky Burke. And I think I don't think Happy and Jeannie were with us then. But anyway, make a long story. So I drive out there. Here come Brother Copeland. So, I'm going to be a Jerry Savelle. I say, Kenneth, pretty trashy looking that bike. You need to wash that bike kind of dirty. You know what I'm saying? I said, because Jerry called me up the night before. He said, make sure everything clean. Remember that? I said, Jerry sent some angel to watch over these bikes, and they know we get dirt on them, so we're going to have to keep clean. So Kenneth goes, okay, I'll wash it tomorrow. I'll wash it tomorrow. So he looks at my trailer. He said, hey, Jesse, I heard Jerry gave you a trailer. I said, yeah, he sure did. He said, well, how come you don't have it? I said, well, and before I could answer it, he says, don't you want Jerry to prosper? And I thought, what do you ask me that for? You get a little attitude when you're on a motorcycle. What? You get a little attitude, you know what I'm saying? I said, why would you ask? I feel like you're my coat. He said, why would you ask me something like that? He said, back off there, whitehead. Hang on. I just kind of, it irritated me a little bit. I said, why would you ask me something like that? He said, how come you didn't take his seed so he could receive his harvest? I said, I was wrong, wasn't I? He said, yep. I called Jerry up. I said, Jerry, I'm coming to get that. I said, you know that trailer you gave me? I'm coming to get it. It's mine. Don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. Listen, God, I'm coming to get that. And sure enough, it wasn't what, like a week or so later, I went down there and got that trailer. And guess what, man? All of a sudden, he began to get blessed. I was holding up his harvest because I was not responsible to his seed. Yeah, you think, oh, it's just a motorcycle trailer. No, it's a seed in God's eyes. He notices a cup of cold water given. So you know he's going to notice a motorcycle trailer. It's a lot bigger than a cup of water. That's why I want to deal with harvest time. The work at harvest time is far more strenuous than at sowing time. Do you know I had to get things in operation so I could go to Jerry's place and get that? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't just say, okay, I'm coming to get it. No, I mean, I gotta drive there. I gotta pick up, and I drove my motorcycle all the way to this place. I hooked that at the trailer up to the back at most and drove all the way back to New Orleans, which is about 500 miles, 468 miles from my house to Jerry's house. I've drove it many times on a motorcycle. But immediately I found out just immediately Jerry began to get blessed. And I thought, Lord Jesus, I didn't realize how responsible I was to people that give me things. But then harvest time, you see, that trailer stayed there all day long. It would stay there. It'd still be there if I wouldn't have went and pick it up. So the work at harvest time is far more strenuous than at sowing time. Now, write this down. Opportunities fly past that do not come again. In other words, an opportunity comes. If you don't move on that opportunity, they don't come again. You understand what I'm saying? Opportunities fly past that do not come again. In other words, they don't. How many times God has told you to move on something? One time I went to buy a building and I didn't like the price. Well, I told Kathy to find me a building. It was the first office building we had for Just Defense Ministry. Was that 1990, Kathy, or 89? I can't remember, something like that. We had been leasing before we decided to buy it. So I saw this piece of this beautiful building. It's a $1 million building. And Kathy said, Jesse, wouldn't that be something if we could buy that building for $250,000? I said, woman, stupid me. I said, woman, you couldn't even buy the bottom floor for that, man. You understand? And then I had to rebuke myself. Shut up, Jesse. So anyway, we went into negotiation, come to find out this was during the SNL debacle when all that S and saving loan thing was going nuts, and boy, they were writing stuff off the books. Congress said, get it off the books and all the kind of stuff. So we got this thing. Anyway, so Kathy said, Jesse, I believe this is the building. You go pray. So I went into my study and I said, Lord, should I buy that building for $250,000? He said, you can pay $250,000, but I'm going to pay $240,000. So I walked out of my study. I said, Kathy, she said, well, and she's standing there. She goes, what the Lord said, Jesse, what the Lord said. See, they always put, you talk about some pressure. All my staff will do that to me. All of them. You know, I'll say, has God been speaking to you? Yeah. I said, what did he say? You go first. All the time. All the time. They never take the responsibility. Because see, I don't have any problem hearing the voice of God. I don't mean that arrogant. I don't have any problem at all hearing the voice of God. If I tell you God said something, you take it to bank. God said something. But Kathy goes, what did he say? I said, Kathy, we can offer $250, but he's going to pay $240. Kathy goes, get back in there and pray. That don't make any sense. I said, woman, I know the voice of God. God said we can offer $250, but he's going to pay $240. So, ladies and gentlemen, we offered $250. We bought the building, but what we failed to realize was there were some doctors in there before it was a medical place. And what happened was you had to finish out the lease. So the lease money came to us, which was $10,000. So the Lord paid $240. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? So God is a very good business person, a business God, if you just listen to him. She just couldn't get over that. I would say, God said we could pay $250, but he's going to pay $240. There's a lot of things God tell you to do you don't understand, but that's not your business to understand. It's just your business to believe it. You see, so an opportunity, and if we'd have missed that opportunity, it wouldn't have come by again. That's what I mean. Opportunity, you know, they come by, but if you miss them, they may never come by again. Now, this is harvest time. Within your harvest is your next crop. Now, here's the problem. People get a harvest, they go, woo, let's go buy something. And that's okay. But you got to remember, within that harvest is your next crop. Now, we just went from seed time, now we're out of progression time. Now we're in the exciting time of harvest time. Whoa, we're going to buy us a Chanel purse, Lord Jesus. Going to get me some Louis Vuitton. Woo, I'm going to have me some Escada. And I'm not against all that. Praise God, hallelujah. But remember this. Don't never spin your seeding seed. Because that is where your next harvest is. Within your harvest is your next crop. It's called seeding seed. Seeding seed. One time we sold a house. Glory to God. I made $47,662.68. I'll never forget it. Kathy went, woo! What are we going to spend? I said, you can spend the 68 cents. She was so disappointed. What are you going to do with that money? I said, we're going to invest something. We're going to get something a lot better. And I increased those $1,000 to over $400,000. Are you bragging? Yeah. Yeah. Not on myself, but I realized that that was the seeding seed in that harvest, which would get me my next harvest. You understand what I'm saying? So, when that kind of money comes in, I said, now, Kathy, let's go shopping, Mama. Ooh, Dusty, let's go. I just went right behind her. Glory to God. Yeah, and I was all right. Within your harvest is your next crop. It's your seeding seed. Now, harvest time is a great time for celebration. Write this down. But it's also a time for great reflection. Harvest time is a great time for celebration, but it's also a time for great reflection. What would you do if you had $1 million? You think, God blessed you and you made $1 million. You think, most people think they're going to buy stuff. And they're not wrong buying stuff. I don't want you misunderstanding. But see, now you got to start reflecting. Because this can do great harm or it can do great good. See, if you don't respect money, money will kill you. Money is a killer boy. You have to respect it. If you don't respect it, it will hurt you. That's why some ministries have to live what I call day by day, check by check, because if God can't fill up their coffers too much because they don't respect money. They start moving. You know, a lot of ministries who want airplanes buy them because they're pretty, which is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. You define your mission, and then you go get the aircraft that you need to work that mission. Do you understand? Because all of them are pretty. That's not the issue. See, what happens is, yeah, you got a great harvest. You were truly blessed. And that's celebration time, and we need to celebrate that. But that's also reflection time. We need to think. Like Kathy came up to me the other day. She said, Jesse, I got some money. What do you want to do with this? We're not making any money on this area here. You think we ought to do this? I said, yeah, let's do that. That was a very good thought that Kathy had. So we invested that money in that part, and it's going to bring back a nice sizable chunk. Praise God. That's a blessing. See? But instead of just saying, ooh, 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 hey, wait, now we're going to have to start thinking, because like I say, it's much easier to work for money than it is to work money. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't care about the economy. I don't care if the stocks go down or the stocks go up. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in, where most of my wealth has come from in my life, is through my giving. Did you hear the Lord say that through that prophecy? I'm so excited about that. When the Lord said, Jesse, you bless me. You know what that means? I empowered God to be blessed. And I prospered God. Isn't that amazing? Now, I have prospered the work of God. Just in the facilities we built. I built it under budget for $6,783,000. And today, that's how long? That's been 4 years now. It's now valued at $17 million. See, so that was true what God said to me through Brother Copeland. Jesse, you've blessed me. You empowered me to prosper, and I will bless you. Huh? So why are you mad at me? Me and God are good partners. I watch over him. He watches over me. You see, now most people think in money, but how about in all these other things? God watches over me what I eat, because I'm not too good at that. I eat just about anything. Not the other day, I get these time warps, but you know how women like to decorate their homes with all kind of little soaps and pretty little purples and blues and stuff like that? They don't taste very well. I saw them there. I saw Kathy had a bunch of little. I said, ooh, Lord, look here. Come on. Took me about 3 hours to get that taste out of my mouth. I said, Kathy, she said, you ate the soap? I said, I thought it was jelly beans or something. I didn't know what it was. I said, don't put that in my bathroom. I don't want that stuff in my bathroom. What do you want in there? I said, lava. There's some lava in there. It looks pretty and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you something the other day. You talk about being stupid. I was, you stay in hotels a lot. You understand what I'm saying? And hotels got all kind of different little soaps and bottles and all kind of stuff. You know, stuff you steal. Stuff that you already got right now that you done stole from the Hilton and the Marriott. And those people that clean your room said, my God, man, they must wash their hair a lot. I had 5 bottles of shampoo in here. Yeah, my hair's thick. But the other day I got in a bath, in the shower without thinking, I saw the soap. And it was kind of like a shell pectin, you know, like a shell. So man, I grabbed that soap, I throwed it in my towel boy, and I'm a rubbing. And it's just towel and skin. I'm going, man, the soap, what's wrong with it? I must have did that for a good 3 minutes and found out that there was a piece of clear cellophane on it, you know? But I didn't see. I'm trying to get the thing to lather up. I'm going, this is some trashy soap. Boy, this stuff don't work. Fine, I looked at that. Now, I don't have fingernails. I said, stupid, so I'm trying to pick the cellophane off. Finally, I got the cellophane off. And then it fell out of my hand and went into the... I got it. Now I'm trying to pick it out the drain. So I brought my own soap with me this time. Glory to God. You know, I just don't know, cats. So you don't notice those. I just grab it and go. Because in my bathroom, everything is... I'm really spoiled. I have to say it. I am. They got it taken care of. Like, if Kathy goes out of town, my daughter calls me, Daddy, are you okay? I said, oh, yeah. I was here before all of y'all. I can make it. I take care of everything. Don't worry about it. It's amazing. So harvest time is a great time for celebration, but it's also a time for great reflection. In other words, you got to really start thinking about what to do, when to do it, and where to do it, and how to do it. So you understand in these three events, there's seed time, there's harvest time, progression time, and harvest time. So seed time should always be, well, let me just say it, seed time always is, progression always is, and harvest always is. It's a cycle. It never stops. See what I'm saying? Now, and I realized this. I looked at myself the other day and I thought, well, and pretty soon, I look about 60 years old because my 58 because my hair's so white. But I'm going to be 54 in about a week, I think, right? Yeah, I'll be 54 years old. And thank you. You don't have to applaud, no. Now, I look much older than Jerry, yet Jerry's older than I am. But Jerry drinks all that green stuff. Yeah, and his hair's great. So every time I get around, they always somebody got something they want me to swallow. And I'm healthy. In fact, Dr. Cherry checked me out and told me, he said, Jesse, you one of the healthiest men I've ever seen in my life. I said, boy, that's the truth. You've seen parts of me I ain't never seen myself. Wanted to check my colon. I said, listen, the Lord put that into the back so nobody could see it. I said, it's working fine. I used it this morning. Don't want nobody looking at my colon. And when I saw what he going to, with the kind of instrument he's going to use to look at it, I said, uh-uh. You're going to need a healing with that crazy thing. He thought that was funny. I was serious. Ask me all kind of private questions. Kathy ain't never asked me that stuff. I said, well, you want to be my wife? What about this? What about that? I said, everything fine. Are you telling me the truth? You think I'd lie to you? Well, no. Everything fine. Got to check your heart. Check my heart. Now, I got hair on my chest. You understand? You only put them little stickers? That hurts. So they put them little things on. They said, okay. I went, whoa, wait. I said, that hurts. It took 50 years or so to grow all that. Hang on. Let me help. I don't see how you women can put that glue on your leg. Put that stuff in your eye. Oh, every time I see a commercial, I go in tongue. That's got to hurt. That day I was watching Kathy shave her legs. I couldn't believe it. I walked in, and man, she fast. I'm going, wow, man, skin flying, blood going, clean leg. I said, Kathy, take your time. I don't do that with my face. How many of you men used to put toilet paper all over your face? Hold your hand up. Come on. Did you know people could see that? A lot of men don't think people could see that. They walk out their house, they got all these little white specks. The other day I thought, Lord Jesus, he's 50s or something. Lady was cutting my hair. Then she grabbed my ear. I thought, what's she going to do? She's going to cut my ear? And then she started cutting me, and I heard this. I thought, good Lord. I said, what's that? She says, hair on your ears, Brother Jesse. I said, I got hair on my ears? She said, yeah, a lot of hair. I said, oh, okay. Then she looked at my nose. I said, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Ah.
Well, you got one hanging out.
Let it hang. Let me show you how to get rid of that. Just push that back. Don't even consider jerking on that baby. I could care less about that stuff. Kathy said, your hair getting in your nose pretty thick. I said, she said, you want me to cut this scissor? No, no. So I went to Sharper Image. I'm going to give Sharper Image a plug. They got a little machine about that big, son. I mean, it'll drill a hole in concrete. I ain't kidding. Jerry told me about that. Jerry said, get you one of them. No, I guess he saw them things hanging down there. Don't touch that, Jerry. Yeah, go down to Sharper, get you one of them things. So I got that thing. I thought, now what do I do? How do you do this? I read the direction. I said, okay. I went, oh. Look at that, baby. It's clean, man. It working. Now, why are you saying that? Well, when I was young, I didn't have any of that. That was the seed time. Then progression time. It began to grow. And now harvest time. Here comes the sickle. Oh. You thought I was off the message. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm enjoying this message. I really am. Are you enjoying this message? Your future is in your seed. So I knew this sermon would be a little funny, a little radical, so I thought I would look a little formal. Give me a little dignity. So I've learned something, that my future is in my seed and all that I do. And the last statement I'm going to say, when I left the other day from New Orleans, and I've been preaching a lot, traveling all over, I had a wonderful time Father's Day. It was just a wonderful time. Kathy went to eat with her mother, and Jody, my daughter, took me out. She said, Daddy, don't bring no money. I'm paying for everything. I thought, ooh, okay. I said, you sure? No, I'm going to. And you know, I preached that morning at my home church, and then she took me out to lunch, and we had just a marvelous time. It was a lot of fun. She's 31 years old. The last time I ate with my daughter on Father's Day, she was 6. Well, what'd you do that for? Yeah. And I realized something. And she, you know, I said, Jody, I apologize. Because every Father's Day, I'm preaching somewhere. You know, I've been preaching. So we went to dinner when she was 6. Then we went to dinner again when she was 31. I said, Jody, she said, hey, you ain't got to apologize. She said, I understand your calling, your commission. And I understand that, man. She said, I'm so glad I was born to you. She said, man, all that. She said very nice things. I said, and you know, I went home, I thought about that. So I called up a preacher the next year. I said, hey, man, I'm going to be with you on Father's Day, right? He said, yeah. I said, are you going to be home Father's Day? He said, yeah. I said, so am I. I said, I ain't coming. I'm not coming. He said, can you come Monday? I said, I'll come Monday. That's the day after Father's Day. I said, but from now on, I'm going to spend some time, especially Father's Day, with my daughter. So we had a wonderful time. She got a beautiful home. Oh, Lord, they got a Maui, Hawaii swimming pool back there. Beautiful. Ain't got no kids, but we got a pool. I said, look at your daddy, Jody. I said, I've created a future for you and for me and your mama. Haven't I? Yeah, Dad. Where's my future? I'm tired of Jerry Savelle having all the fun. Got all them, hearing all them in grandpa stories. I said, come on. So, and we know, and she said, well, if your mama still can have a baby. I said, hush your mouth, man. Hush your mama have a baby? You're living in a dream world. Your daddy don't believe in sickness, but he would get really sick if that happened. No, I said, no, I'm talking about y'all. I ain't talking about me. See, she's got this cat. She loves this cat. This cat's named Mia. Mia must be 20 years old by now, huh? 18 years old? She getting old. The other day, I had to take her to the vet. I said, what's wrong with Mia? He said, Daddy, she getting old. Her teeth are falling out. I went. Because I figured if this cat bites the dust, then we'll probably get us a kid. I've talked to some of my friends. I said, I want you to make them an offer. They don't refuse. Make a hit on the cat, will you? Take a hit. Take this cat out. No, you can't do that. No, I ain't going to do that. Your future is in your seat. I said that this morning. I came walking out, and Mark James last night grabbed me, by the way. I walked out. He just grabbed me. I said, Mark James, how you doing, son? I didn't have a chance to talk to you, you know? And I thought, now you see that? There goes Jerry Savelle's future. Think about that. Jesus tarries and we all go by the way of the grave one day. Who knows? Mark James may be on this platform. Said, my grandpa preached this convention 72 years ago in a white coat. That's a wonderful thing. See, that's perpetual. Stand to your feet right now. That's perpetual. So if you learn to sow your seed, remember, you got seed time. You have progression time. Do not be defeated during your progression time. Then you have harvest time. But there's two things you should always have in your hand. Seed and sickle. Seed and sickle. Sowing, reaping. Don't let nobody ever talk you out of your harvest. That includes the devil. Give Jesus a hand clap for this morning. Hallelujah.